Thank you for that introduction. I take exception with the baldness issue. But anyway, it is so good to be here at Long Beach Alliance. And I want to start on the right foot, so let me introduce my wife. Is that okay? Selise Comiskey, back there, raise your hand. Selise, why don't you stand up? And then my daughter Sarah, Nicole, and Chelsea, would you please stand? You know, this is a special time because I want you to know that the Long Beach Alliance women had a lot to do with my finding my wife. Okay, as a bachelor, lonely, of course, I went to the Alliance women and said, would you please pray? So I could find my wife. And they prayed, and God answered their prayer exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or think. By the way, single guys, that's a good strategy. Talk to the Alliance women. They are the prayer warriors. And so I thank God for that and for how the Lord has done that. I also want to introduce my parents, Tom and Phyllis Comiskey. Would you please stand? Tom and Phyllis were here in the early 50s, living on Palo Verde and Stearns, Los Arcos Street. Homes were sure cheaper back then, weren't they? But I was born and raised right there on Los Arcos Street. And so it's good to be here at Long Beach Alliance. I also want to introduce Glenn Emery. Glenn and Karen Emery. Glenn, could you stand up, and Karen? Praise the Lord. Now, Glenn was a elementary school buddy. We went to Emerson Elementary School, first grade. We were buddies, second, third, all the way through sixth. We went to junior high Stanford together in Millikan. And so it's so good to have Glenn here to hear me. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn also, by the way, was baptized in this church and married in this church. So it's good to have you guys. Now, let me see. Is Kevin Strong here? Raise your hand. Where's Kevin Strong? Is he around? There, just good. Kevin and Lisa Strong, thank you for coming out. One of my best friends, Kevin Strong. He, by the way, is a teacher at Santa Ana Community College, a speech teacher. So he'll be taking notes. So thank you, Kevin, for coming and listening to me today. So, you know, this church is really, really special. Hey, by the way, is Bob Birch here? No, okay. Anyway, but... You know, this church is very special to me, really special, because I was born again. I was saved at the age of 17 there in my parents' house on Los Arcos Street. And Jesus got a hold of my life. I called out to Him in my despair, in my purposelessness. And Jesus changed my life in the darkness. Because the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus Christ saved me. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, He can save you as well. So anytime when I'm speaking and you want to call out to Jesus Christ, you can. Just say in your heart, Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins and You rose again. Come into my heart and give me eternal life. And Jesus will come into your heart as well. Because the Bible says we're saved by grace. And so in my bedroom, I called out to Jesus and He transformed my life. And you know, the first church I went to was Long Beach Alliance to be discipled. This was like 1973. I came here to Long Beach Alliance Church. And I'll never forget Bill Rouse giving me this bear cub handshake. Just says, ah! Have you ever experienced a Bill Rouse handshake? You need to get one of those immediately if you have not experienced that bear cub, big warm hand. And I became part of the fellowship here. And I remember there in 1974 being baptized in the adjacent building before this temple was even built back in 1974. And then here at Long Beach Alliance, I became an intern and became a missionary intern. And I was ordained here at Long Beach Alliance for the ministry. And here at Long Beach Alliance, I was married. We were married 18 years ago. And then here at Long Beach Alliance, we were sent forth to be missionaries with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And so my wife and I, we went to Ecuador, but we were sent off from this church to be missionaries in Ecuador. And then we would come back to Long Beach Alliance, our Antioch, to share what God had done in Ecuador. And we would share, and you would pray for us, and we would go out there, and we'd go back. And so, you know, this moment here is very important to be presenting now a new ministry, Cell Church Solutions. Because this is the first mission message that I have given as a missionary with Cell Church Solutions, an organization that I founded 2.5 years ago. So this is a first. And thanks, Long Beach Alliance, for being creative enough to accept this wild-eyed guy, Joel Comiskey, in this new ministry called Cell Church Solutions. If you'd like to know a little bit more about it, we do have a display board on the left over here as you're on your way out. Just take a look at Cell Church Solutions. And probably the best way for you to get to know me and my ministry, our ministry, is to sign up for the monthly newsletter, the free monthly newsletter. No contract. Okay, just free monthly. Get off anytime you want, just an email. And so do that, because I would like to really stay in touch with you, okay? That would be really, really cool. Now, I do understand that the word cell has a bad rap today. I mean, there are some very undesirable characters that are using the word cell, if you know what I mean. And the only reason I use the word cell, and those in the cell church movement use that word, is because of the cell in the human body that's constantly dividing and also giving nourishment to the rest of the body. But at the same time, there's only one body. And many of churches, though, call them not cell groups, but life groups, touch groups, heart groups, or home groups. I define a cell as just 3 to 15 people that meets weekly for the purpose of evangelism, discipleship, and community with the goal of multiplication. So a group of 3 to 15 people that meets weekly for the purpose of evangelism, community, and discipleship with the goal of multiplication. And cells, by the way, are not like independent churches. No, there's both the celebration and the cell. Those cells meet for reaching out and for experiencing the one another's of Scripture, but then they come back to hear God's inerrant word from a preacher, somebody who's called by God. And, you know, oftentimes those cells are hidden, multiplying cells. In the next PowerPoint, you can see how that oftentimes the church, to grow taller, they must grow deeper. And small groups are just a way for people to be discipled and to grow deeper and to experience the one another's of Scripture and to reach out to friends and neighbors. And so on and so forth. So cell and celebration are both part of the mix. But I want you to know that I'm not really all about cell groups. Now some of your jaws might drop here. But really, I really want to share with you this morning that I'm all about discipleship and that Jesus is all about discipleship. Discipleship, discipleship. And so, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. In Matthew 9, 35 through 10:4. Remember, in the original, there were no chapter and verses. It was just one parchment, one manuscript. And so we read here that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And so here Jesus, we see him moving there among the crowds, and he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved with compassion. And so Jesus touched the blind and healed them, and he raised up the dead, and he healed certain people, but that was his short-term solution. He ministered to the multitude, but he had a longer term strategy. And he told us what to do. He said, pray, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers into the harvest field. And then Jesus really fulfilled that petition. He exemplified that petition by calling forth his disciples, his 12. And they were a small group that he met with and that he discipled and he cared for. And this was Christ's long-term answer for the multitudes, for the needs to raise up workers, laborers, disciples. That's what he wants from you. That's what he wants from me. He wants us to be disciples. And really, as far as I'm concerned, I believe that small groups or cell groups are just the best disciple-making tools or vehicles to prepare disciples. That's why I'm into cells. I'm really not into cells apart from what cells do. They make disciples. They prepare laborers better than anything, but anything else I know personally, because in a small group you can fail. You can learn, you can grow, you can exercise your gifts, you can give out and receive something that you can't receive in the larger body. Matthew 28:18-20 says the same thing. You'll notice what Jesus says in Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth," and you've read this before, "has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now you'll notice in this verse that even though it says go, yet in the original, it's actually having gone. Jesus assumed that we'd be going. There's only one command in that verse, in those verses, and that's make disciples. There's three participles. One is having gone, the other is baptizing, the other is teaching, but there's one command, make disciples. You know, Jesus is all about making disciples. He wants you to be a disciple of His. He wants Joel Comiskey to be a disciple. He's not interested in anything else but disciples. Because the only way we're going to win Long Beach and the rest of the world is by disciples being raised up and going forth and making other disciples, a disciple-making movement. This is what Jesus wants. And that's what the early church was like. It was a disciple-making movement. Do you know that the first inscription of a building of the early church's temple was in 150 AD, 150 years after Jesus Christ died? And yet, the last book of the New Testament, Revelation, was written in 90 AD. And most of the New Testament books were written in 50, 60 AD. So we had our entire Bible before the early Christians were meeting in their own building. But they met from house to house. And in those houses, that was the context of all of the scriptures, all the epistles that we read about, all of the one another's, the gift passages. They were all read by people who were sitting in a circle or sitting in house churches, and they were able to exercise those gifts. And they multiplied those cells, and those cells continued to multiply until even the Roman Empire could not stop them. Finally, the Roman Empire that tried to stamp them out finally just said, okay, we're going to Christianize you. We're going to say that this is the official religion. And this is the same thing happening in China. Conservative estimates say that there are like 70 million believers meeting in house churches. Again, underground, but meeting vibrant. Some estimates say 100 million. There's revival, there's excitement, and disciples are being born and made in this environment. So the question is, you know, why am I into cells? I'm really not into cells. I'm into discipleship. I'm into bringing back those New Testament principles. I believe personally that cell groups are like leader breeders. They breed leaders. They breed disciples. You know, just like baby rabbits. I don't know, you know, just there's that breeding. There's a breeding. And I know this has been my personal experience. Because I want you to see a picture of Joel Comiskey. Let's go to the next slide. This is Joel Comiskey right here. I know maybe I'm a blank at times, but there we go. Remember this, Glenn? Yeah, Glenn remembers this, Kevin. High school picture. Graduating from Millikan High School. That was before I got saved. Had a little more hair back then. But then the next picture, Joel with a tie on. I was saved with a tie. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. But I remember there, just like 2 years after I received Jesus, that when I really heard God speak to me, the Lord told me that I would be leading a home group. And I just really sensed an impression that Jesus was speaking to me about this. And then my little brother Andy, who was saved, God delivered him and rescued him. And he had some friends. And so we started meeting at my parents' house on Los Arcos Street. Bob Birch was the worship leader. And that's the next slide. And we would get together at my parents' house. And we would just sit there and, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. Julie Hansen. You know, I was only 2 years beyond them. 2 years old in the Lord. Just a step ahead. But guess what? I grew as I gave. As I ministered to others, I suddenly realized I don't know that much. I need to learn some more. I'll never forget one time Bob Birch, the worship leader, and he, by the way, he just played a joyful noise. He was oftentimes off key. But I'm glad Bob Birch is not here right now. But anyway, next slide. But there we are, my parents' house. No, before. Basically, I remember Bob Birch said to me one time after I had given a Bible study, he said, Joel, you have a lot of gifts and talents, but one of them is not teaching the Bible. I said, thanks, Bob. I appreciate that, Bob. I really needed to hear that. But you know, I mean, it was good because we had the freedom to share. And I basically just opened my mouth and asked God to fill it. That was all. And I grew, but I grew. We had the liberty to grow as we gave out. And in that atmosphere, guess what? I was called to be a missionary. A missionary, Ginger Powers, came and spoke about the need to send missionaries to Eastern Europe. And I felt a call to be a missionary. And I went out with Youth with a Mission. And then to Canada. And God began that process. And you know something? I learned about church growth technique and so forth along the way, but I largely forgot some of that home group experience that I experienced back then. And I got into church growth and how to get more people in the sanctuary and so forth. But God sort of had a reservoir there. And he began to bring me back to cell church into small groups and to making disciples. And so, you know, I had the privilege of actually studying these cell churches and how they made disciples. And I'd go around and study these. That was actually my dissertation. How these churches would take the multitude and they'd have a training track, an equipping track, and prepare people to be disciples and to lead new small groups. And I found that I was, you know, into getting people to come to church, attendance, to get them to come and fill a pew, but these churches would take the multitude, prepare them, and send them forth to make disciples and to continue the process. And I had to take a double take. I had to learn what it was to make disciples again. And God began to burden me, next slide, God began to burden me with this whole disciple-making principle. And I learned how that these cell churches would take the multitude and would train them to be disciples. I think I have another slide here. Yeah, it wasn't that they neglected the building, but rather in the celebration on Sunday, they heard God's word, and then these people that were prepared to be cell leaders would go out and penetrate their communities and would grow and would practice the one another's of Scripture. And it was exciting to study these cell churches. And of course, this was new to me. So in 1997, I took some of this information and went back to Ecuador and began to transition with the other team members, the missionaries, the Republic Church, a church that we had helped start in 1994. But we really didn't know what we were doing. So we decided that each person on staff would lead a cell group, would lead a home group. And so I opened my home. We opened our house there in Quito, Ecuador, and we invited people to come and to experience Christ in our cell group. And I'll never forget Dora. Dora came to our cell group. And Dora just had the liberty to hang out. She was a person that had lots of questions. And she was struggling, but in our cell group atmosphere, people just had the liberty to talk and to freely share and to share their doubts and their needs and their problems. And I remember after one lesson that this confused person named Dora just actually literally cried out in the middle of the cell group and just said, "I'm confused!" And I thought, this is not in the agenda. But you know, we just loved her. We just cared for her. We didn't pounce on her. And it was 1 week later that Dora received Jesus in our home, and Celeste prayed for her just one-on-one in our house. And so there she was. She was already in our cell group. So by that time we had a training track and a discipleship track, and she got into that. And then like 4 months later I had the privilege of baptizing her. This confused person now in the waters of baptism. And then Dora got in the training track and she started attending our church. She started attending the Republic Church. And then after about a year, year and a half, she also was leading a cell group. And you can see her here actually, next slide, actually signing a report. And you know, she led that with Paul, her boyfriend, in the parents' house. But here this confused person now reaching out to her neighbors, to her friends. And this is what this whole thing is all about. Making disciples who make disciples. Making disciples. Taking the confused and then allowing the confused to reach out to other confused people. Because God's not called any of us to sit. He's called all of us to be disciples. Jesus Christ is into disciples. And I became enthused about this whole cell idea because it gave me a vehicle, a paradigm to make disciples. And so I began to see the growth there in Ecuador, but also I began to write about cell church things. And God allowed me to write certain books on cell church. And I wrote a book called Home Cell Group Explosion. And you know what? I couldn't believe it. People actually read it. people actually read some of those books. And I started getting back testimonies. And I got one testimony from Uzbekistan. And by the way, Uzbekistan is way out there. It's former Soviet Republic, 85% Muslims, 14% atheists. And I got this letter from this missionary. One missionary wrote this. He said, "I've just returned from an advanced planning trip to Uzbekistan. It was quite an amazing trip. I was very impressed with the depth and commitment of the church leaders I met with. I was listening to two pastoral leaders describe how they had gone into a remote, undesirable location where God had called them to serve. It was an amazing story. They had gotten hold of a book about cell churches in Russian and had gone into this area to begin a cell church. They started with 5 people 5 years ago and have over 500 today, which is really significant given the culture and challenges they face in Uzbekistan. I asked them what book it was they had read. It was one of yours. When I told them that you had spoken at our Ukraine pastors conference, they begged me to ask you to come to Uzbekistan. So here I am asking, can you come? We will work the conference out around dates that will work for you." Well, you know, this just became a common occurrence. That here we were in Ecuador, what suddenly we're getting invitations to speak in Hong Kong, in Ukraine, in Russia, in Thailand, in Cambodia, in Australia. And people, pastors, really just wanted a vehicle. They wanted to train their people that were attending the church to become harvest workers, to become disciples, to launch cell groups, and to raise up a harvest of disciples. And then not only that, but to plant smaller churches. Because if a lay person has multiplied a cell, that person with more training can also plant a cell church. You don't have to have a mega cell church. You can have a cell church at 50, an entire cell church, and then plant another cell church. And that's what a lot of people are doing. For example, this church in Hong Kong, the Cell Church Mission Network, another church I spoke at. Well, this church would take their cell leaders that had led and multiplied a cell, and then ones that felt called would go out and plant cell churches in other parts of the world. And so here I am talking to a guy from this church, next slide, that this young guy, Chinese guy, he was showing me his plans and how he had planted a cell church in Bangladesh. This guy was at that church you saw, but he was just a cell leader, multiplied his cell, went through the equipping track, and all of these cell churches had a real discipleship equipping track. And then he went on for further training, and they sent him to Bangladesh to just basically open a home, multiply it out, plant a church. And they were planting smaller, simple cell churches. Let's say when there were 5 cells, they would plant another cell church. And this is just something that is going on worldwide, throughout the world, that God is moving through and in. And in fact, tomorrow, Sarah, my daughter, and I, we leave for Prague, Czech Republic. And we'll go and speak to the Southern Baptist missionary coordinators there. And we're going to be training them on how to prepare their leaders to plant simple cell churches at a smaller size and to keep this discipleship movement going. And then from the Czech Republic, we'll go to Slovakia. We'll travel by car and we'll speak to the national leaders. Who also just really want to raise up their national people to plant cells and then eventually sell churches. And because people are hungry to make disciples, they want to get beyond just focusing on one pastor. They want to train their lay people to do the work of the ministry. Of course, we're very well coached and discipled and making sure that false doctrine does not take place, really well discipled. And would you pray for us? Would you at Long Beach Alliance stand behind us as we go to Slovakia? Would you pray for us? Would you know, some of you might want to sign up on that sheet out there. There's a sign-up sheet for those who really want to stand behind us in prayer. And I want you to think about that. I know some of you in this room pray continually for us. And I want to say thank you, because that is the base. That is the air that we breathe. Please continue to do that. Please pray, because later on this month, we will have our third Cell Church Solutions board meeting. And pray that we as a board would know how to get this ministry beyond Joel Comiskey, that I would be able to really raise up others to do missions, to teaching and coaching and even writing. We have a publishing arm now called CCS Publishing. And just pray that we could really, you know what invitations to take, what invitations not to take. But you might ask, well, why did you leave Ecuador? Well, first of all, in Ecuador, there was already a strong cell church movement. God really began to move. And really, we were ministering in other parts of the world. So we felt God's calling to come and to start and to camp out, to live in that remote place called Moreno Valley. I know it seems remote, doesn't it, way out there? But we're there and we're close to the Ontario airport. And so that's just sort of a base, our base there in Moreno Valley. We're also planting a cell church out there. We go home tonight and we'll be leading a cell in our home, reaching out to the community. Because we want to stay in the battle. We want to make sure that we're in the battle. And so would you pray? Would you stand behind us in prayer? Jesus wants us to make disciples. He's interested in the harvest. He's interested in laborers. And you know what? He's coming soon. Do you believe that? He's coming at any moment, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Jesus Christ is coming back. And Jesus Christ wants to find disciples. Let me ask you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to be a martyr for Jesus? We tell our kids, we want you to be martyrs for Jesus. We want you to be missionaries. We want you to give everything for Jesus. Are you willing to lay down your life for Jesus? Some of you are called to be missionaries. During this mission conference, just say, hey, we're going to say yes to you, Jesus. We're going to say no to materialism. We're going to say yes to you. We're going to give our lives. I want to give my life for something that counts for eternity. But all of us are called to be world Christians. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ today? Are you willing to take that next step, whatever it is? Are you in a small group? For some of you, it'll be getting involved in a small group. Becoming that disciple, taking the next step, maybe even joining a team that leads a small group. Jesus Christ is coming soon and He wants us to be ready. What is God calling you? Some of you here are here and you need to receive Jesus to begin that process to become His disciple. Other ones just need that rededication. Jesus, take everything. Take my life and let it be pleasing to you. Let's pray right now. Let's just have a few moments of silence. As you ask Jesus what kind of commitment He wants you to make, just let Him speak to your heart. Let Him go deep. Let take that next commit, that next step. Has your life been out of control? Give it to Him. Do you need healing from emotional pain? Let Him heal you. Is God calling you to participate in the Great Commission? Let Him speak to you. For some, it's to receive Jesus into your heart for the first time and to believe that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. let Him come into your heart and set you free. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Lord, we thank You for this great church. Thank You for Pastor Chris. Thank You, Lord, for the staff. Thank You for what You're doing in missions. Thank You for Long Beach Alliance and their support. Lord, it's just so neat to come back here as a Cell Church Solutions missionary and to once again present this ministry that You've given. And Lord, it blows my mind that You've given me this ministry, given us this ministry. And Lord, I thank You for Long Beach Alliance and their participation in it. And I pray, O Holy Spirit, that You would continue to give vibrancy to this church, give excitement to this church. Cause this church to be a New Testament, vibrant, on fire church, O God. Bless Pastor Chris, Melinda, Lord, that You would just use them mightily. We thank You for them, Lord. We give You the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I didn't have you raise your hand or look up. We're going to actually be next door. And if you made a commitment, I want this to go beyond a raised hand or a look up. I want you to actually talk to me, talk to Celeste, talk to Pastor Chris, or any one of the staff. And let them know the commitment you made. That way you'll be able to talk with somebody face to face. And so the commitment will be real, will be beyond this service right here. God is good. Thanks for having me.